Hello and welcome to W Rated, where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on our Road to Razzies, a special run of episodes looking at the nominations for the worst films of 2022, according to the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, do you want to tell us what film we're talking about this episode?
Today we're talking about The Requin, which has a 19% tomato meter score for critics, a 6% audience score, and has a 2.6 out of 10 on IMDb. It's directed and written by Levan Keat, and it stars Alicia Silverstone, James Tupper, and Deirdre O'Connell. It's basically about an estranged couple who've gone through some tragedy, who go on a luxury vacation, and their villa, their over-the-sea villa, gets swept away in like a torrential storm, mm-hmm. and they are left to survive out in the open. And the poster will tell you it is a shark movie.
But for the clues with the big fat shark on the front.
I more found the shark wasn't in it very much. It was more just a survival movie.
Also, I don't know if you looked it up, because I did, what the Requin actually means.
I'm so glad you did, because I didn't.
It's actually French for shark.
Oh.
Which I don't understand the relevance of, as they're in Vietnam, and I don't know if there's some big French-speaking community there. But on my version of the film, which I rented from Prime, it was called Down Below, which made a bit more sense. But yeah, for sure, I saw plenty of reviews that tried to pinpoint the minute that the shark came in, and I think we were looking at least an hour into the film.
Because I was like, is this a shark film? Where's the shark? I was kind of relieved. Sharks are scary, to be completely honest. But it was odd. Oh, I didn't say what it's nominated for. This only has one nomination, and it is Worst Actress for Alicia Silverstone.
More misogyny from Razzies, I see. I suppose they have to have a women's category.
I do think we've said that about every single female.
Given that we're recording the day after International Women's Day, it just hurts. I think the reason that I'm saying this is because for most of the nominations for the women don't feel deserved. This one, potentially,
yeah.
But I just feel bad for Alicia Silverstone.
This is it. So I adore Alicia Silverstone. There is literally there's a picture of Cher from Clueless behind my chair as we speak. And I like her, and like I'm a Batman and Robin apologist. One day we'll get there.
I've seen anything else other than Clueless and Scooby-Doo.
She's great in Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed.
Yeah, I don't genuinely think I've seen her in anything else, which is wild, considering how like iconic I find her.
She's great in the film Vamps. I've mentioned that on the podcast before. Big fan of Vamps. What else would I have seen her in? Oh, she's really good in that film. I'm going to find the name for it now.
She's really good in that film. Just, this is reminding me of do you watch Community? Have you seen Community?
Yeah.
He's like, you were really good in that, and he's clicking to Alison Brie's character, and she's like looking it up on her phone, and then she gives it to him and he goes, IMDb.
The Crush in 1993. Crush. She's very good. She plays a teenage girl that becomes obsessed with her teacher. It's very good.
Is that the film where the song comes from?
I don't know.
Because that was out in the 90s.
Yeah, I don't. I think that
might
just
be. And it feels kind of.
I feel like that just might be coincidental.
Because I don't know, it feels like it fits that sort of psychological thriller vibe.
Well, let me have a little looky loo on this here internet. it is a cult classic.
So did she do that before?
No, it was before Clueless. The song is not related anywhere on Wikipedia. I think that is just...
If anyone wants to do any fan edits, I'm just...
I'm sure they're out there. what is it called? Crush song?
Yeah, it's just called Crush.
That came out in 1998.
Ah.
It came out 5 years after the film. And let me just see if she's, you know, cited it as an inspiration. No, it was inspired by Jennifer Page's personal experiences and observations that in her sense. Love life.
Anyway, massive sidebar.
Claimed it was written for Joey Fatone of NSYNC because she was rumoured to be dating him at the time.
Oh god, that changes the song completely.
Back to Alicia Silverstone. She's done some good stuff, but she had kind of a difficult career. She's also had a lot of personal troubles.
Right, okay, I wasn't aware of that.
She suffered a lot with eating disorders when she came, like the It Girl. Right. And, you know, it happens. And she just, she never really got her moment, which sucks.
Yeah.
I like her, but I did not like this film. I did not like her performance in this film.
No, but I think
not take her screaming.
It was just bad across the board.
Did she? So, what was it that she kept saying? Baby? Did she keep calling him baby?
Yeah, but I mean,
like, does he have a name? Does he have what's his actual name?
Oh, this is a good question. Her name was Jaylin.
Oh,
his
yeah.
name, I want to say, is like Simon or something.
It was Kyle.
Sure. Anyway.
But, oh, she just kept going, baby, 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 baby.
I mean, I'm allowed to say it because I've become one of those people, but you do say it more when you're in a relationship than you care to admit.
I had a 6-year relationship in which we lived together and I never fucking once called you babe or baby.
You are the minority, I promise you. Not in a bad way, probably in a good way, because you're less insufferable for everyone else around you.
I would leave my partner if he started calling me baby. I mean, I don't have a fucking partner to leave. It's just why I'm single, because I won't let someone call me baby.
Maybe. all I'm now thinking, I'm going for all the 90s songs now. I'm like, don't call me.
Yeah, that song, I heard it at a young age, it indoctrinated me. I'm no one's babe or
good
baby.
Good for you. International Women's Day.
But I like individualised, like come up with a name that's personal and means something.
Fair. Anyway.
That really annoyed me. The film was just...
That's not her fault, though. That's the script.
She just did an awful lot of, like, hyperventilating and screaming.
There was a lot of screaming.
And, like, that might have been the direction she was given. Like, it probably was the script, but I found it
that's awful. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not saying she was good. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard to not see everything as a whole as just bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know... It's interesting what they were trying to get at with the story. The reason they're estranged is because she had a miscarriage. She blames herself. It was a water birth. I don't need to be spoon fed, but it would have been nice for them to draw some kind of thematic parallels, which I think they were trying to do, but it ended up just not working. So it felt really clunky.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a bit like, oh, and they're in the ocean, I get it, kind of thing, rather than being anything.
So, I think it was more her child was stillborn, like died within childbirth. I don't know.
Yeah, it had the umbilical cord wrapped around it.
Yeah, because they did it at home. She's scared of the water.
And she blames herself.
Because she made the decision to stay at home and to do the water birth. So the whole film is about her regaining her agency to make decisions.
It. The description that you've just made, though, is you filling in the blanks, because they don't say it in that many words. And I'm not saying you have to, but it just felt really underwritten and just, but also at the same time, like, really clunky dialogue. It's hard to act well with that, but then I mean, we've seen plenty of ones that, you know, even the 355, we like their performances even if we didn't necessarily like the dialogue, for example. So
can I just talk about the bits that really annoyed me, because I've just remembered?
Yeah, have you got like a list, a checklist?
So they eventually get attacked by sharks because they're floating in the ocean. And
he's broken his leg, so he's got blood everywhere.
Well, so the sharks eat her husband's legs, like both legs, just gone.
Yeah.
And she swims him away whilst he's profusely bleeding because he's lost both of his legs and he is clearly quite dead. And she is just there begging him to wake up and telling him to not be dead. It's like, both his legs have been eaten by a shark.
I know, but... I mean, she's gone for like a couple of days without
water,
food. She's probably just like, but no, it was.
And then?
It was more funny than harrowing seeing both legs being eaten, which definitely wasn't the intended.
Then she finds was it that point or a different point? Might get the order of this wrong. I think, no, I have got the order. So then she manages to get away and she's stumbling around land. She's in shallow water.
Yeah.
And yet somehow the sharks are in shallow water.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
And then they attack her and bite her leg. Sharks wouldn't come anywhere that shallow.
She was, the water was below waist height, no?
I feel like it was at some points. Just not there, like, she was on sand.
Yeah, because when she fell asleep, she was, like, asleep against a rock, like, on sand. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they had a shot of her on the water.
And then so I don't know whether they were
trying to imply the tide, but sharks just don't go that
anywhere near that shallow. No. And then eventually she finds a Vietnamese fisherman in a Vietnamese fishing basket.
This poor guy. He was just chilling. He was just doing his damn job, having a fish, American woman.
And so he sews her up, and then he goes down to try and get his fish up, his haul, to bring her back into land. And then she lets him get eaten by a shark. And I just felt really bad for him.
But then, so what is it? Does this shark have a vendetta? Because if he's out there fishing with, like, a first aid kit and a big bottle of moonshine,
they wouldn't,
like,
fish anywhere near where there were sharks.
No, because there wouldn't be fish there, because the sharks would eat the fish.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, I don't know anything about sharks, so I don't know if that's true. But if there was a risk of someone being chomped, they wouldn't fish there.
No, and it did
almost
feel like
as
it was,
if the shark could come along to follow.
It was implied that the shark was following her.
Yeah, which is just stupid. Does this happen?
I don't know. We haven't done Jaws 3D, Jaws is Revenge, or whatever it's called. So,
One of my favourite bits that was just like, oh, this is too good. This was 100% a so bad it's good film for me.
Oh, no, this was a so bad it's bad. I think this
I got is, a bit this... bored, but I did enjoy it.
We're going to do a wrap-up probably of all the films, but this is in my bottom three.
Oh, yeah, this is the worst. Like, but I just, I don't know. Worstly made. The effects, Claire. What are you thinking of?
Time will tell.
Okay, so two things, right? So one of them, before I move on to the effects, because that's a whole other thing. At the end, when she finally gets, she kills the shark with an anchor, for one, which I don't.
I did kind of enjoy the killing of the shark, though.
Yeah. Is that scientifically accurate? I'm not sure. Because she kind of just let the anchor go and it went really slowly. And it looked like it just got, like, it looked like the shark had kind of just gone.
No, kind of like, the shark,
rather than it being weighed down.
The shark was trying to eat her and it bit the shark and it impaled itself on the anchor.
I thought it was just like half watching.
I think when it bit the anchor, like,
right,
jabbed. I don't know.
No, I reckon it could have survived that. Anyway, if it was just in its jaw. Anyway, I'm not a shark expert. she's managed to float to land somehow. As she goes into the shore, she, like, looks at the sign that says, like, danger beyond this point. And then has a knowing look and, like, looks at the camera. And she's be like, don't I know it? Like, fucking hell.
Do you know what I thought was happening there?
Sleeping, like, see a song or some shit. Oh.
I thought that was going to be a whole other act where it would be like danger and she suddenly realised she's on, like, an electric, like, thing and that she was, like, nuclear poisoned or about to be blown up or something. And I was like, no, I cannot take any more. And then it ended and I was like, thank God, because I felt like it ended like three times.
It was strange. It was interestingly paced. I say interestingly because I don't think it was good, but it kept my attention because I was I don't know where this is going to go next because this isn't traditionally. Whereas I prefer to watch films like that rather than ones I know exactly what's going to happen and I'm so bored.
So I don't like these kind of films anyway because I love the
ocean. You don't like the production company.
I do not like the production company. Saban Films. We covered them a lot during our Razzies.
You get Saban'd.
You've been holding that in for a while.
No, just thought of it. I work in PR, don't you know? They come to me so easily.
I have a healthy respect for the ocean.
Healthy respect?
I love the ocean, but we shouldn't be trifling with it. The ocean's scary.
Healthy respect.
Yeah, a healthy fear of certain parts of the ocean. And I don't like sharks. And we all know that I would not survive like 2 seconds. I was talking to my manager today and she was like, I don't do well with struggle. And I was like, me either. I do not do well with struggle. So these films stress me out. Like, even these films are a struggle because I'm like, I could not struggle.
So you don't like watching other people struggle? Whilst you're also struggling.
It makes me feel like I have struggled to watch others struggle.
That kind of, like, writes away quite a lot of films.
Does it not explain a lot about me, though?
I can't watch others struggle. I pretend I do not see it.
Does that not entirely sum up my personality?
I just can't. But I'm just sitting here thinking about you and your boss going... Me too. Let's just not struggle together.
We were talking about heating.
For God's sake. No, to be fair. Would it surprise you or scare you to know that my big, like, thrill seeker bucket list thing that I want to do is shark diving?
Oh, see, that's an absolute never, no thank you. Like, healthy respect for the ocean. No thank you.
I have sharks are like my thing where I'm like, they're really cool and really scary, so I like them, kind of thing. Like a child, you know them.
Oh, I did like when the dolphins were there. I'm very pro dolphin, and I was like, why did you not just go?
Kyle wasn't. He was like, fucking hate dolphins. Like, you should be thankful, like, that they are dolphins.
Get in the back of the dolphin because dolphins save people. Like,
I was thinking, well, they are intelligent. Can they work out the scenario?
Like, I was like, just go to the dolphin. Like, can I have a ride?
And just go to the dolphin. In Morse code, and they'll get it.
Dolphins are quite rapey, though. So, did you not know that?
No.
Yeah, dolphins be horny fuckers. Like, they're kind of rapey. Like,
but you swim with them. Yeah, maybe that's the balance of nature telling humans to fuck off.
Well, yeah, like, dolphins do regularly sexually assault people in those things.
I mean, I'm not condoning that, but at the same time, like, maybe people kind of, like, you know... Respect the ocean, more I should say.
I used to be very pro, and I have done dolphin experiences because they are my favourite things in the world. But I think now, it's as an adult,
more later in these days, though, I think
I would never
have a much, much different view on it, and, you know, that's fair enough. And then the other thing I wanted to flag, which was a highlight for me, which I spoke to my housemate Lucy Bugus about this morning.
Previous guest.
Shout out to Lucy. Was the when she's in that basket and she's got that motor thing, it's basically like a handheld motor, I'm assuming, to move the basket. And it's got like a fan, and she attacks one with it, right? Did you notice that when she sat back and put it back in the basket, that the fan was not real? That was CGI.
I didn't
and it looked
that.
So weird, where someone had basically put a, what are they called? You know, when someone like it's basically tracking, but there's a word for it in After Effects, and it's the most basic thing where you click a point on a video and it tracks the pixel in some way, so it doesn't on its own generally look great.
Yeah,
but they'd clearly just gone, right, let's just get that attached so it will go. But it just, there's no change in the shadow, there's no, like, doesn't look 3D. It just looks so strange. And there were so many effects where there was bits where she was like struggling
the
with the shark.
In a different ocean.
There were each of the different sharks were from a different artist. but there was just certain, some of the film looked fine. If just for a cheap film, like, fine. But some of the shots were like, oh my God, has this even been rendered? I don't understand.
It was a rough one.
Why would you... one. I mean, I don't want to, like, be... is eugenistic a word? About who should make... You know, when it's just, like, people shouldn't have... These certain people shouldn't procreate. These certain people shouldn't make films. What I'm trying to say is... Gatekeep is the word I was looking for. I don't want to gatekeep and say these certain people shouldn't make films. But why would you make a film that so heavily relies on effects if they're going to look that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah? That was my point.
Though I feel like I keep commenting on a film I haven't seen. People seem real mad about the Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania effects. So, like, I think effects are just bad above the board.
The effects in that were just, like, I don't know how else to describe it other than, like, muddy and gloomy. Like, nothing feels real. It just feels like you're just looking at, ugh. Like, it's fine. It's too good in a way. What they can do is too good that they just do everything and it just loses any kind of
texture.
Imagination or texture or wonderment. It's all, you know, like people were talking about, like, the Disney stuff and, like, how it's too, like, too dark. It's because they're trying to make it too photorealistic.
Yeah.
But it lose all of the effects, lose any kind of, it's the, in the uncanny valley now where they're trying to make it look so realistic, but we know it's not. That there's just this thing in between us that we just can't get on board with. But no, I think there's a happy medium where you can enjoy a film's effects in between The Requiem and Ant-Man and the Wasp, where it works.
Okay.
Not Ant-Man and the Wasp, well, Quantumania, whatever it's fucking called.
I mean, the director Lee Van Kiet directed two other films in 2022. One called The Ancestral, which was a horror movie, which I believe looks like it was Vietnamese, based off the cast list. And then he also did The Princess, the Joey King movie.
The action one.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, they maybe there's like a tax write-off to film in Vietnam. And so Saban were like, okay, cool, we'll just get a Vietnamese crew. Yeah. This guy's doing some cool stuff.
I've
heard people like this film Fury.
Yeah, people seem to really like that one.
So I reckon maybe they just got him on board. There was an opportunity there.
I mean, I think it's our lowest ever audience score that
I was gonna say when 6%. You said that.
Yeah, it's a rough one. 6%. At least people agree the Flintstones is better.
Finally. but yeah, I mean, so I'm really surprised this hasn't got more than one nomination. For me, I know I was saying earlier and half joking, her performance isn't by no means great and someone has to be nominated. But what I don't understand is why she was nominated but not anything else. Because
the rest
bad.
Of the film, yeah, it's all bad. The direction's like, bad, the screenplay is bad, the story itself is bad.
Yeah,
like, the film's
so
bad.
That's what pisses me off. It's like, right.
Sure. I think it's probably less seen.
Yeah, but then if it's seen enough to nominate her.
But maybe there were just less female nominations.
Yeah. Which is good. It means females are doing good. Females. Just talking like bloody thing from Friday Night Dinner. Got any females? The women are doing well. That's what we care about. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you can join us for the next episode where we keep running down that road on the way to the Razzies 2023. See you then.